I can live with the devil. Because I know how to keep him out of my life. He can stay right in my house. He can sleep and breathe on, and be so close to me, he's breathing on my neck. In fact, he does that sometimes. And I can live with it. He won't get into my life, thank Allah. If he's just like that, he's not even there. He won't get into my life. But I'm prepared to live in, with the devil anywhere. Anywhere. In Brooklyn, Chicago, wherever. I'm prepared to live with the devil. In fact, I'm prepared to have him, as I said, in my bed with me, breathing on my neck. Because he can't get into my life, thank Allah. He can get into my house, though. And don't think he can't get into yours. I think he's been in most of your houses. But I heard the cup on you, and I smelled his breath on your neck. And I do it because I smelled it on me, on the neck, on my pillow. Ain't nothing wrong with a little humor. It's good. Good for the blood. Good for the blood, little humor, you know. Yes. So we have to accept that time in the future promises us less and less from governments and from other people. Says there's coming a time, this is Quran, when every soul will have enough problems of his own not to be bothered with others. And that time is here now. Everybody, they got enough problems of their own to be bothered with your problem. In Christianity, this is told in the symbol of the cross. Jesus took upon himself a cross, didn't he? And that cross was his cross. But he asked of his followers that each of them take upon themselves their cross, bear a cross. It is the tradition of Christians to wear crosses. Because this is what he loved with them. Now, what is that says? That every individual must bear his own cross. God holds Muhammad, the prophet, responsibility for the office that he gave him. He held him responsible for that. So he, as an individual, had an individual responsibility to God for the office that God entrusted him with. So in Christianity, that is his cross. That's Muhammad's cross. His individual responsibility that God gave him is his cross. For us, the possibility that God created us for as individuals is our cross. Listen, please. This is very important. When you look at a cross, what do you see? You see that it's really a picture of two things, because these two things must become reconciled in man at some point if he's to have the great life that God created him for. It's symbolic of you, firstly. See? This is a cross. This is exactly what it is. So when they put Jesus on the cross, really, he himself is the cross. Jesus is the cross. He is the cross. That means himself in balance. The tightrope walker. He has to stretch his arms like this to stay balanced on that tightrope. So the most you have going for you to balance yourself is this. This. This is good, but I can balance myself even better. I can have a more acute balance, a more, for want of another word, I'll just stop it right there. I can have a more exact balance. I can be more perfectly balanced. That's it. By stretching my arms out to the full extent like this. To the full extent like this. So we know the cross has more than one meaning. The cross has several meanings. And this is one of its most important meanings, is that it means the person, and this is its first, I should say, its first and most important meaning, that this individual is in perfect balance. And of Jesus Christ, it is said in the Quran that they neither killed him nor crucified him. They didn't do either. But it was made to appear to them as such. So this here appears to be when the man is here looking pitiful and brutalized, blood dripping from the thorns on his head and holes in his hands and feet showing blood. This is a sign of cruelty. Sign of cruelty, misery. It makes us feel sad. But the Quran wants us to see that this is an appearance to hide another appearance. This is a picture to hide another picture. Now under this picture of sadness, of torture, of cruelty, is another meaning. It means that Jesus lived all of his life in perfect balance before God. That's what it means. That his life was perfectly balanced before his Lord. And he died a Muslim. Died in the perfect balance. In the Muslim nature upright. That's what it means. So this is the real cross. The other cross hides this cross. It masks this cross. The cross that says Jesus died in the perfect balance. They're going to kill him. They're going to crucify him. He said, this is the purpose for which he sent me into the world. You're going to crucify me? You're going to kill me? Well, this is the purpose for which you sent me into the world. To give my all, including my life if I have to. To make the ultimate sacrifice if I have to. And if I make it and remain faithful to my Lord, never betraying him, never slacking, never shortchanging him, then God will record me that I died in the perfect balance. Huh? So you're going to kill me? I came here to do this. I came here to do this as my purpose. You didn't kill me. I gave you my life. You didn't take it. I gave you my life. You didn't take it. God sent me in the world to give it for his cause. And I gave it. How can you take what I give to God? Are you listening to me? How could you take what I came to give to my God? Obedience, even if it means losing my life. So such a shaheed is never killed, never crucified. He's obedient to his God, and he will give his all rather than disobey his Lord. Now, it means that the time is coming when every dog shall sit on his own bottom. This is the Bible. Every man shall sit on his own vine and fig tree. This is the Bible. The Quran says, each one shall come up bearing alone before his God. You ain't going to be able to pinpoint to this one. Say, well, God, Brother Rockman can speak for me. I wasn't so bad. I had a problem, and he knows about it. He can tell you about it better than I can, God. No. Nobody to look at, nobody to talk to. You're there by yourself before your God. In this world now, the time has come that you can't point to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, or some problem you have in your leg. Well, that people ain't got no legs that's productive. People got no arm, no leg, and productive. I read about a man wrote a book with his big toe. That's all he had left was a big toe. Arms gone. But he had a big toe. And he called the book My Big Toe. Because he used the big toe, he put a pencil between the big toe and wrote a book and made money. And there's some have no book or nothing. But they have a mind. They're using their mind to continue to be productive. So whatever you got left, use it to continue to be productive. Because when you come up before God in judgment, you ain't going to be able to have any excuses unless you use all that you have to live a productive life and produce not only for yourself, but for others. So we live in a time when we have to be responsible for ourselves. We have to maximize, I repeat, the amount of responsibility that we will have for our own self and with respect also for our demand on us to help our community. You must help your community. There are people crippled, but they love, they have such pride, they take such pride in being able to do something. They will get in the marathon and join the marathon crippled, walking on crutches, right? Just to show people my spirit is like yours, though my capacity and ability is not, but my spirit is just like yours. They're in that race. Some in wheelchairs. You see them? In wheelchairs, in that race. Isn't that a sign that in our community we can't excuse somebody just because they got one eye out or one leg off? No. This is as important as the marathon. Be the high-spirited, strong-spirited people that we see in the marathon. You are handicapped. Still be productive. Be productive. You don't have any schooling. Be productive. Do you know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 30 years was supported by people who had no schooling? Those are the ones he attracted in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Those who had no schooling. They didn't have any schooling, but they had faith in what he was doing. And they worked selling junk, selling rags, cardboard, metal, scrap metal. They worked washing walls, windows, doing domestic work, taking care of white folks' children, etc., women and men. They all worked doing something. And they are the ones that supported my father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for 30 years before times changed and we start getting help from people on a little higher level in education or in school, etc., or in society. In fact, it wasn't until the 60s that we started to realize a change in the picture of his following. His following was almost 100% uneducated and poor until the 60s, then a little change came. Been professional, some better educated people started to join. Up to that point, I believe we could count on one hand those who had more than a high school education. We could count on one hand. We could count those who had a high school education probably without going past 100 for the whole following in the nation, in the whole nation of Islam. You hear that? So don't tell us that you don't have this and you don't have that. What you're missing is decency. Get some decency in your heart, and you will have the power to make a contribution to yourself, to your family, and to your community. We're not accepting that stuff, that you're handicapped, I'm poor, I have too much responsibility. Take care of it. Hurry up and take care of that too much responsibility that you got. And don't take a month to do it. Because after 30 days, we want to see you making a contribution to this community. Get that house in order quick. I may have a secret thing going too. You know anything? Somebody will be breaking down your door and whipping your ass. I mean, putting an old-fashioned mama in the South, whipping on your ass. And when I say ass, I have nothing but a dumb donkey, a stubborn mule in my mind. I don't have anything like what you thought I had in my mind. Now, if you had nothing but a buttocks, we have no reason to whip you. That's all you got. You're nothing but a buttocks. We don't want to whip no buttocks. We want to whip a dumb ass. This calling we got is too important for us not to jack each other up for not being in the mind we should be in. Yeah, we have to start jacking each other up, brothers, for not being in the mind we should be in. Is this sunnah? Yes, it's sunnah. We're responsible for each other. The brother is the believer is the mirror of his brother.
Huh?
The mirror of his brother. That means you're responsible to reflect to your brother what he should be looking at that should be himself. The mirror shows you what you're looking at, yourself. The mirror shows myself to me. Well, Muhammad is saying, you're supposed to show the brother himself. Now, if he's not seeing himself, and he's all out of shape, he's in the wrong state of mind, his spirit is bad, you just mirror, why don't you show him himself? Is that making sense to you? Makes perfect sense to me. But look, we have practical examples too from the history of our prophet, peace be upon him. Someone reported to Muhammad the prophet that the believers were together at someone's home, and one of them got drunk, was drinking, they got drunk. He said, all of you, he didn't excuse not a single one of them, said, all of you, each of you, should have punished him. So that means we are responsible for each other. Now, you know, we can't take the law in our hands. Muhammad had realized independent society and government in Medina at that time, they were not under another law. So we can't take the law into our own hands. And the help for this situation is also provided for. I'm going over time, excuse me. The help for this situation is also provided for, because Muhammad said we are obligated to correct the wrong when we see it. He said, with your hands, if you find the circumstances for it. And if you can't find the circumstances to correct it with your hand means take physical charge of it, as well as mental charge. That's with your hand. So, but if you can't find circumstances for that, then take charge of it with your tongue. Speak out against it. And sometimes the circumstance won't even allow us to speak out against it. We get shot, we get killed, we get locked up, taken from our family, just for speaking sometimes out against a wrong under a dictator or a tyrant, a terrible ruler, or a terrible regime. So sometimes we can't even speak out against it. He said, at least have it in your heart to be against it. And that's the weakest of faith, he said. Isn't that right? This is the hadith. This is the saying of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, Muhammad. Now, is there any time when you can't be the mirror for your brother? No. A mirror doesn't speak. A mirror is silent. You don't have to speak to your brother, but if you can, correct it with your hands, if you have to. If you can't, with your tongue, speak against it. If you can't find that, then in your heart, show him with the expression on your face that you don't like the state he's in or the condition he's in. My mother didn't have to get up and just look at us. She didn't have to speak. She looked at us, and we knew to hurry up and get ourselves in shape. Before something comes stronger than that look. Yeah, so we can just look at each other and let each other know our expression. But know what we do? The worst brother in the mess there, we go and kiss him. Assalamu alaikum, brother. You're reinforcing him in his unhalal condition. That's what you're doing. And you're going to have to pay along with him for contributing to his sins. Yes. Yes. And it may not come when you're dead in that body. We might send that whip after you. We got many ways to whip. I'm just like my father. My language always practically needs interpretation. We got many ways to whip. Believe me, we can whip now. God has blessed us with that. He blessed us with ways to whip people. And we don't have to come to your house. Don't have to send any guard or security brother to see you. Mm-mm. We can reach you. God knows. He's given us the means to reach you. To make your life a pure hell. We throw you in jail, too. Throw you in jail. I'm trying to lock you up. With no physical means. I'm scaring you. Scaring you a little bit, Alan. Good, good. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to scare you a little bit. I'm trying to scare you a lot. Trying to scare you a lot. And in the name of my God, what I tell you I can do, I can do. Okay? All right. But we don't want to hurt anybody. I'm the last one to hurt somebody. We want to help people. We want to love you. We want to help you make your life pleasing for you and for your God. We want to help you get rid of the hurt, misery, fears, problems that you have in your personal life. And if you just follow the guidance that you have in the Quran and our Prophet Muhammad, and what we are advising you to do, accept our advice to you, you are going to have a beautiful and wonderful life. You're going to have a beautiful and wonderful community. And it's not going to be long coming. It's going to be here like overnight. You're going to wake up one morning and you're going to say, wow, I can't believe it. Look at all of this we have created. Created! We have to create the life we want. God says, halaku bi akhlaq Allah. Create using the box, that the creating box God has given you for creating. Using what God has given you to create. Halaku bi akhlaq Allah. Create using the materials for creating that God has given you. It has a reference first to character, but it goes beyond just character. And God says in the Quran, and God is the best of creators. He is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, the best of creators. So God is recognizing that He's not the only creator. He's the first creator who created the natural world and everything therein. But then He created the human beings with human intelligence, with powerful imagination. And He has given us the capacity and the power to create ourselves. And we can create, to be creators ourselves. Correction. To be creators ourselves. He has made us to be creators ourselves. So don't just look at the world that you see. Have faith in your God that you can create a world too. If we are not pleased with this world that this world has given us, let us remember that God made us to be creators. And let us work on creating the world that will please our own hearts. And if we do it following my spirit and my leadership, my thinking, we will create a world that will get the world's support for it. They will not be enemies of it. They will not try to destroy it before it's established. They will welcome you and say, join us. And we will be watching you with hopes that you will be successful. That's all they'll do. Don't be afraid. The man that taught my father, he left these words with the people. He said, big fields await the wide awake man. Well, that wasn't true back then. We were really awaiting the big fields. But now, his prophecy has come to its, has survived and lived to see its day, its time. It is now that we have big fields awaiting the wide awake man. Peace be unto you. Be producers. Don't shame us anymore. Assalamu alaikum. And as he was speaking,